Good morning and welcome to our circuit service this morning. It's good to be with you all as we come together to worship God. We're trying an experiment with our service this morning. This hasn't been advertised in advance because I wasn't entirely sure it would work. But our service this morning is being streamed straight out to Facebook onto the Shrewsbury Methodist Facebook page. And so the service will kind of automatically be available listen to again almost as soon as it's finished. And I hope this will be a way of making our circuit service even more widely available than it already is. Of course, it may not work, in which case it won't be. That does mean that we need to be perhaps even more mindful than usual of our of video cameras. So I'd invite everyone, although during the service it's all done by screen sharing, so nobody's video should really appear on anybody else's feed. But you may want to turn off your video just in case, because if my internet breaks, then the Zoom will default to pictures of everybody. As usual, I invite you to leave your microphones muted until the very end, when we can greet one another. That just avoids the possibility of embarrassment. I need to say thank you again to Brian Stock for doing door duty today. Thanks to those who as well as Brian have volunteered, and I'll be in touch with you this week. And if anyone else would like to volunteer to take on door duty, that will be really helpful. As last week, I invite you, if you have any prayer requests that you want to share with everyone, I invite you to use the Zoom chat to share those. Please don't identify anybody by other than a Christian name. Thank you to Jacob for music, and you'll also hear the voice of Julia Skitt in one of our hymns today. And special thanks to Shalom, who will be leading us in our reflection on the scriptures. I think that's all the notices. So we come together in worship of God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We sing our first hymn, As Your Family, Lord, See Us Here.
As your family, Lord, see us here. As your family, Lord, see us here. As your family, Lord, see us here. Oh, Lord, see us here. At your table, Lord, we are fed. At your table, Lord, we are fed. At your table, Lord, we are fed. Oh, Lord, feed us here. Fill our spirits, Lord, with your love. Fill our spirits, Lord, with your love. Fill our spirits, Lord, with your love. Oh, Lord, give your love. make us faithful, Lord, to your will. Oh, Lord, to your will. As your family, Lord, see us here. As your family, Lord, see us here. As your family, Lord, see us here. Oh, Lord, see us here.
So let us pray. Loving God, as the season of autumn unfolds around us, we come in gratitude for the gifts of your creation, for the tastes and smells and sight of all that is around us. In our uncertain world, the familiarity of the seasons is comforting. Yet we come knowing that creation is but a foretaste of all that you have prepared. We have glimpsed your glory in Jesus, your Son, who blessed human life with eternity and brought a hope that fills our lives. Yet we know that even though we have been invited to share in this banquet of abundance, we have been guilty of taking your provision for granted, squandering the hospitality that you give, wasting your extravagant love. So we confess our negligence in response to your kindness. We seek your forgiveness so that the door to the heavenly feast can be reopened. Help us, O Lord, to see your provision laid out before us in joy and in sorrow, when we are sure and when life seems uncertain. Seasons come and seasons go, but your love is constant and true. We offer these and all our prayers in and through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we unite our prayers with the prayers of Jesus as we say together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22, and reading verses 1 to 14. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." We pray that God will bless his word to us. Amen. And I invite Shalom to unmute her microphone if it's not already unmuted, as she shares with us a reflection on today's scripture.
Good morning and welcome, and let us pray. Holy God, we ask for your Holy Spirit as we discern and distill this difficult gospel. And we ask that you give us the wisdom and the interpretation to be able to understand what it means for each and every one of us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Many are called and few are chosen. Very familiar lines in the Bible that can sound like it's a competition to get into an elite school, but it isn't a competition. This parable can be seen as one of judgment, but it can also be seen as a parable about accepting God's invitation by actively responding to the invitation. It's very clear there's no room for complacency in this parable. I come from a very large extended family. My father is second youngest to 18 children, and I'm number 49 of 50 grandchildren. And you can imagine how busy that would be at Christmas and Easter, even with half the family living far away. But just imagine the wedding invitations. I have cousins I've never met, and cousins that are almost the same age as my father. So in my life, I've received many wedding invitations, invitations from first cousins and then their children and now their children's children. But yet I've only ever attended two of my cousins' weddings. Everyone in the family gets an invitation, no matter how well we know our cousin or not. It's a courtesy, a reminder that you are remembered in family celebrations. There's not really an expectation for you to attend, thank goodness, because if actually all my cousins showed up to my wedding on Iona, the population would have tripled overnight and humans would have finally outnumbered sheep. I'm sure many of us here have received similar invitations to such events, a courtesy invitation with perhaps no real expectation of showing up to the event. Just a lovely thought to remind you that you are indeed remembered. But this context in Matthew's gospel isn't quite like that. It's not a courtesy invitation. It's a serious invitation to the king's son's wedding banquet. Now, this should evoke within us some parallels between Jesus. The banquet is for the son. The people are invited, and then they don't show up, and that those that do show up are not prepared to join in festively. In Jesus' time, being invited to a king's banquet was rather a big deal. But in this parable, the first lot of invitees made excuses for not attending. So the king sends out his servants to gather up everyone they can from the streets. And then a guest shows up without wedding robes on. And well, this whole story is rather violent. In those days, if a king invited a person to a wedding, it was not only rude, but a serious breach of protocol not to attend the wedding feast. It would be like Queen Elizabeth inviting us to dinner and saying, "Sorry, can't go, it's a good hay day and I have to milk the cows. Thank you." We've all been invited to this allegoric feast with God as our host. Do we show up to the feast no matter our age or our ability? And if we do show up to the feast, how do we show up? Many of us long to see a different world where injustices are made just, where there's no such thing as refugee, but a global citizen with access to food, water, and shelter. We want to end world hunger, but how much food does our favorite grocery shop throw away on a daily basis simply because the item might be blemished? We still shop there, and we put it out of our minds. We want to share our resources, but maybe we're reluctant to support food banks because we can't understand why someone would need a food bank if they have a car and a phone. Trust me when I say there are reasons for those situations. We want to see an end to abuse in institutions, but sometimes we're reluctant to take a safeguarding course. We want churches to grow, but do we really have to use the word evangelism? We pray for others to change, but rarely do we pray for ourselves to be changed. We're disgusted by corrupt world leaders, and yet we have difficulty praying for them specifically by name. These are not judgments on my part, but they're to elaborate on some common paradoxes in our lived faith as Christians. This parable could be interpreted as an invitation to a divine calling, to be co-creators with God. This parable has no room for complacency, because being a Christian is not a passive experience. Even for those who may be in their twilight years of life can still pray if they can no longer pray with their hands by doing for God. God became Jesus, and Jesus' incarnation into the world is an example of many are called, but few are chosen. Everyone in Jesus' time would have known who he was, but not many chose to follow, because it can be difficult to be a student of Jesus. It requires not just faith, but faith in action. It requires not just a recognition of the injustices in the world, saying, "What a shame," when we see a heartbreaking news story. It requires divine action, of which we are called and chosen to do. It requires us not just hearing the words, "Love those who hate you," but actually loving those who hate you. And maybe this is why many are called, but few are chosen, because it is difficult. But we don't do this on our own. God, if we allow it, will work within us. It's difficult to put that wedding into attending, it's difficult to put that effort into attending the wedding banquet. That's the real reason why I haven't attended many of my cousins' weddings. It required time off work, ensuring I had the money, making travel arrangements, perhaps even twice a year with the size of the family. That's a lot of effort to go through in a country the size of Canada or internationally. It's easier to send the reply card with a gift. And I'm honest and a bit ashamed when I say that those weddings that I did attend were for cousins to whom I was close. And I did put in the effort to attend their wedding because they meant something to me. Not because we were close in age, but because we had a personal relationship. There is showing up, and then there is showing up festively, as Karl Barth likes to call it. Showing up prepared and knowing that the example of the wedding guest not wearing robes is an example of showing up, but not showing up prepared. He was invited, but for him, he was just a seat filler, one can assume. All of us are called, each to our own ministry within the church, not just deacons and presbyters and local preachers or anyone else that needs to have a period of discerned calling. All of us, no matter where we are today, are called. But it is up to us if we are chosen. We decide to be chosen. And when we are chosen, we participate fully in the divine partnership with God, not simply just as a seat filler because we've been called there. Living the gospel begins with the invitation. But those who are chosen, those who do choose to be chosen, are radically and forever changed by doing the hard work that Jesus asks of us, loving others as we love ourselves. Just as I attended the weddings of cousins that I was close to, I'm sure there's no doubt that the closer we come to God, the more we show up to the feast. And the more we show up to the feast, God will help us to make the world a better place. This isn't all up to God. God has been inviting us for generations to be God's hands and feet in this world. And we come closer to God in prayer, in the reading of the scriptures, taking intentional time for reflection, and then responding to what God is asking of us. We choose to be chosen. The world, as my Nan would say, is in some state, mate. And we're all tired from the situation we've all been living in. But now is not the time for spiritual complacency. Now is the time from our own homes to harness the opportunity that this situation is providing us. And if we decide to see the current situation as an opportunity to preach the gospel, it can be a chance to reflect on showing up to the feast and gently confronting our own spiritual complacency. And so I leave you with this to reflect on. Where in your Christian life have you been invited to fully show up with those wedding robes? Where in your Christian commitment have you become complacent? I've identified a few things over the past few weeks within myself. Don't worry, we're not alone. We receive these answers in love because God is with us and will dress us in the wedding robes and equip us to fully show up to the feast. We are not alone. We live in God's world, who has created and is creating. Amen.
Amen. Amen indeed. Thank you, Shalom. And so we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we come to you as a people in need to pray for your world in need. We come to you seeking acceptance, forgiveness, inspiration, and a fresh hope for all that lies ahead. We look to you to be our guide. By your inspiring, challenging spirit, help us to live the days ahead immersed in prayer, to look for opportunities to share your love into the world around us. We recognize that all the world is yours. Help us to treat it as yours. Help us to call for change in attitudes among world leaders. And guide us in our day-to-day activities that will help to make the world a cleaner, safer place. And we lift up before you all those who face insecurity and fragility. We pray for those facing painful decisions and for all who are in financial difficulty. We remember those who live in situations of conflict and violence. We hold up before you the leaders of the nations, that they might govern with justice and compassion. And as we pray for your suffering world, we remember those who are near to us, who are in need today. We pray for Heather and for Brian. For all who are bereaved, for all who are lonely or anxious. Stretch out your healing hand, Lord, we pray, that those we have named and all those who we have neglected may find in you strength, healing, and hope. Loving God, teach us to love. Guide us by your compassion, that our hearts might be tuned to yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And our hymn is When I Needed a Neighbor.
Were you there? And the creed
are you there? I was hungry and thirsty, were you there? Were you there? I was hungry and thirsty, were you there? And the creed and the colour and the name won't matter, were you there? I was cold, I was naked, were you there? Were you there? I was cold, I was naked, were you there? And the creed and the colour and the name won't matter, were you there? When I needed a shelter, were you there? Were you there? When I needed a shelter, were you there? And the creed and the colour and the name won't matter, were you there? When I needed a healer, were you there? Were you there? When I needed a healer, were you there? And the creed and the colour and the name won't matter, were you there? Wherever you travel, I'll be there, I'll be there. Wherever you travel, I'll be there. And the creed and the colour and the name won't matter, I'll be there.
And as our service draws to a close, I invite you, if you'd like to unmute your microphones, even to turn on your video if you're so minded, as we bless one another. So we bless one another in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for your company this morning. It's been good to be with you. I am going to turn on the breakout rooms, if you can stand to bear with me, because I need to turn off the Facebook sharing before we do that. So, here we go.